My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gourley in Trafalgar Square. The date is 28th of August 2009 and the time is 6:28 p.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name is Christine Telford. I'm 48 and I'm from Morpeth in Northumberland.
And have you travelled to London especially today for this?
I have, yes. I flew down this morning from Newcastle.
And has coming to the square and seeing the plinth in action been how you imagined it would be?
Yes and no. I've watched on the webcam and I've seen various people doing whatever they're doing for their hour. But I guess just being here makes it very real. And that's the bit I hadn't sort of, I don't know whether I'm excited or I'm terrified or probably a bit of both really, yeah.
And what have you thought of some of the things you've seen online?
Some of them are just bizarre, some of them are really good. They've been very inventive and funny and creative. And I guess I was a little concerned that when I get up there, it's just gonna be me standing there. So I have to be representing something, seeing something. So I'm gonna be trying to represent what I feel is important to me, which is my Angels of the North.
Would you tell us a little bit more about that and what you will be doing for the hour?
Well, obviously leading on from Anthony Gormley's iconic piece, which is The Angel of the North, it really got me thinking about what my angels are. And I've always talked about my Northumbrian heroines, and I suppose in a way really they are angels to me. Anthony Gormley's statue, when it was first put up, it wasn't particularly popular. It was a difficult time for the North East because there was a lot of deprivation on employment, steelworks, there was layoffs, there was closures, shipbuilding as well, the mines, the pits. So the great employers of that area, and I suppose what is our identity in the North East, were all coming to an end. And it was a time of great change. And a lot of people felt very strongly that it was a waste of money and it could have been better spent in other ways. And for me, the really important part was how very quickly people changed. And I really can't think of many people now who don't love it, flying over it, see it. And to be honest, in a way, it feels like it's been there as long as the bridges. And yet it is relatively recent. So following on from that Angel of the North, my Angels of the North, I think about the women folk in the Northeast, and truly amazing, and especially I suppose women of my mother's generation and my grandmother's. My grandmother was actually sold for a sixpence at Morpeth Hirings, which is when she was hired for farm service when she was 13 years old, which was just in the beginning of the 1900s. So these women are all iconic to me, and to be able to sort of share a blood relationship with them is inspiring to me. I haven't chosen an easy path myself either. I work in the oil industry, I'm a geologist, and it took me a long time after graduation to get a job and then actually to follow it through. And I've been self-employed these last sort of 19 years, and I've made a big success of it, but it doesn't make it any easier to work as a woman in that kind of environment. So when I think about the three women who are Emily Wilding Davison, Grace Darling, and Josephine Butler, whilst I've had it difficult, I can't imagine what they had to endure to be able to be as successful as they were. And it brings back sort of the suffragette motto, which is deeds, not words. They didn't go out and talk about it, or they actually went out and did something about it. And I think that's the most important thing, especially as, and I say this to women who's joining my industry, I say, you know, don't think about all the words. Actually just go out there and do it and show you can do it and be a success. And that is the way that you can change hearts and minds. So Emily Wilding Davison's especially important to me because as a little girl, my granddad, my paternal grandfather, used to take me round the local cemetery that we lived next to and tell me all about the dead people. And he told me about Emily Wilding Davison. She was the suffragette who tried to pin the suffragette colours on the King's Horse at the Derby, and she was trampled underfoot. I'm very conscious about the fact she didn't throw herself under the horse because she had a return rail ticket in her pocket and she didn't intend to die that day. And I've always been fascinated with Emily and the suffragette movement. It was about 4 years ago that I became involved helping a genealogist as I was in Aberdeen working, and Maureen Howes of Morpeth, she was researching Emily, And there was an Aberdeen connection, and I sort of discovered this and felt I could help her because I was up in Aberdeen working there. And to my absolute and utter astonishment, about 4 years ago, I found out that I was actually related to Emily Wilding Davison through my paternal grandmother, Lizzie Blackhall. The Blackhalls and the Kearsleys and the Davisons are all quite intermarried. I'm probably my own cousin, really. And that just adds another dimension to it, really. I mean, it still is almost overwhelming. The other two, Grace Darling, she lived with her father on the Farne Islands. They were on Longstone. They were in the lighthouse there. Her dad was a lighthouse keeper, and one night there was a steamer going past, and Farne Islands can be very difficult in stormy weather because some of the islands are just below the surface of the water at high tide. And the Forfarshire was wrecked on the Harker Rocks, and they couldn't launch the lifeboat, so her and her dad, in the morning when they saw survivors on the rocks, they actually launched their own boat, and she rowed out and saved various people who were on there, including a woman. And Queen Victoria feted her, really. She thought she was such an amazing person, which obviously she was. Josephine Butler was much earlier than them. She was actually the early part of the 1800s. And although she was born in Hexham, she did a lot of her social reforming work in Liverpool, where I know there are organisations set up in her memory. But Josephine Butler repealed the Sexual Contagion Act. And this was a very insidious law, which meant that any young woman, any older woman, any woman, in fact, who was walking the streets could be lifted off the streets any time, day or night, and taken in for intimate examinations and treated as a common prostitute until she could prove otherwise. And she was instrumental in repealing that act. Amazing for those times and for the work that she did. Astonishing. And I think the three of them embody the deeds, not words, again. Josephine for her social reforming and her and sort of her, how can I put it, just the actual thinking about the people and thinking what was best and working towards that. Grace for her strength and her courage and her bravery, and Emily for her convictions and her passion of what she believed in. And I just think the three of them are just such amazing people. But when I look at my female relatives and my close female friends from the Northeast, I see all of those qualities in them. It's believed to be a very masculine society, the Northeast, but let me tell you, it isn't. It's on the foundation of some amazing, truly amazing women who will never be lauded for anything other than just being fantastic mothers, sisters, daughters, aunties, grandmas. And the courage and the strength that they show, especially in the Northeast when times haven't been particularly easy, and that's from times, as I say, when, you know, my mother's generation and my grandmother's and my great grandmother's and before, up to sort of very recent political times, where it's been very difficult for them, and they've provided the real backbone of the community.
And how are you going to be presenting these angels in the
morning? Well, I have my angel dress, which is a big long white dress. My cousin Nina, who helped me with the banner along with my mum Jean. Nina has provided me with angel wings, which I'll be wearing. I also have a t-shirt which says Angels of the North. And I have a banner that I'm going to put on the plinth, which has the names of Emily Wilding Davison, Grace Darling, Josephine Butler, and also Deeds Not Words, and a Northumbrian flag as well. So I hope that it generates some comment, and I'll be able to talk to people passing by and let them know about these three astonishing women.
And is that the idea? Will you be presenting information about them, or will you be inviting people to talk to you? How will you be telling people about the women?
I guess I'll just be trying to engage them in conversation. If anybody asks me who they are, then I'll certainly tell them. And I'll tell them what I feel, and if nobody asks, then I'll probably just talk to whoever's there, whoever's watching. Really just trying to engage them. I want to spend some time up there as well, just looking around and seeing people and just having a good time, really, and just embracing the moment and just having that special time, because it's for me too, standing on the plinth. It'll be a unique vantage point, really. Not many people have had it. Well, there'd be 2,400 people, but only one of me.
And what's the impact that you'd like to have by going up and doing this today?
From a personal point of view, it's really just my way of getting these three women, of seeing their names and having them made real again. The other part really is to take part in an art project, and that's for me. And I know that I've got family watching me, so it's for them to see me up there and hopefully, I don't know, to enjoy it as well.
And can you tell me how your values around these women have influenced you day to day since discovering them and what you've learnt about them? How does that influence you in your life?
I think it influences me just to be the best I can be. And the work that I've chosen, as I said, it's not an easy environment for anybody, but for women it has especially difficult moments. And it's just to remember that it wasn't an overnight success. They persevered, they tried, and they kept going. And that's what I'm trying to do. And it goes back to deeds, not words. And every day I go into work, every time I go to a new project, I know that I'm not just going there as an ambassador for myself. I'm going there as an ambassador for anybody else who wants to come along behind, who happens to be female. I realise that there's a responsibility I have, not only to myself, but to other people who potentially may want to do the same as me.
And is there an impact you'd like to have on the people watching today?
I suppose if somebody goes away knowing a little bit more about all of them or one of them, then I think that's enough. I just really want to be able to say their names and make them real again.
And to help us understand a little bit more about you, would you mind telling me a little bit about your work and what you do in your normal day-to-day life?
I'm a geologist, I'm a consultant geologist, and I work in the oil and gas extraction industry. I am an operational geologist, so I don't just work in an office. I plan wells with the subsurface team, and then I work with the drilling team to actually drill the wells and to evaluate the success or otherwise we have. I started off as a mudlogger, which is collecting samples in an onshore or offshore laboratory. And then I moved over into well site geology, which is actually identifying the rocks that come up from being drilled. Deciding, making decisions on where to stop, where to start, where to call, where to do specific actions. And then from there I've progressed back into the office, and now I manage the team that are on the rig doing that. But I still get offshore and I love it. It's my natural environment. I don't know if that's something that I was particularly suited to, or whether once I've been there I've adapted to. But I know that I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the camaraderie, the life, in a way. So that's what I do.
And outside of work, what are the things that are important to you?
The outdoors. I think that's being a geologist, really. That's where the love is. I like mountain biking, hill walking. I love the arts as well. So if I can incorporate all of those, then that's fine. You know, go to a sculpture park, things like that. That's appealing. I like to read. I like the cinema, opera, the theatre. So I suppose there's definitely an art side to that, but there's also a science part as well. I do like my science, I do like my geology. I like to be able to look at the scenery and know exactly why it's the way it is.
And have you taken part in arts projects before?
Yeah, there was a question on the sheet about that, and I was thinking about it. I've participated as sort of an attendee. I'm trying to think if I've actually taken part. And I don't think I have. I did apply to Anthony Gormley's Field of Dreams, and I didn't get chosen there. But I would have liked to have done something like that. So a participant, I suppose, in that I go and look and see and attend things, but not necessarily being on the side of actually making it.
And are you able to summarise how you felt since hearing that you had a place to this moment before going?
Oh, it started off with complete astonishment that I'd been chosen. It was so wonderful. And it's gone through probably lots of emotions, from sort of, this is amazing, this is fantastic, I'm going to be up there on the plinth, to thinking, I need to make this time special. I want to make it special for me. What is special to me that I can expand on, that I can actually commemorate while I'm up there? So it's a whole range of emotions. I mean, as I say, I don't know if I'm overexcited now, or I'm scared, or I'm terrified, or what. I don't know what the reaction is when I'm going to be up there. So it's a whole range of emotions, from utter delight to sort of thinking, is this right? You know, should I actually be doing this? Could somebody spend their time more wisely than me? I don't know. So you go through doubt, but it's back to overexcited again, I think.
Okay, great. We'll have a wonderful hour.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.